I'm going to wait a bit to
Close
see
again
if
now.
the community
Yes, huh?
no.
Can't wait for Brennan when he gets here. Yeah, there's not a chair over there.
Welcome, folks, to the Demand Management Working Group meeting. Some folks are still kind of dialing in, so we'll just let folks trickle in here. We have 4 folks on the line thus far. I think we can just get started. So again, this is the ninth meeting of the working group for demand management. And folks in the room, this is a tight fit, so we're just going to, as you can see, we're just going to rely primarily on handouts. There's just a couple of slides, handouts for you, just but it's all the standard stuff, so you don't really have to worry too much about it. First bit is just again, we're wanting to make space to contribute. We're not consensus seeking, but the more that we can discuss and identify areas of agreement and areas of divergent perspectives, all the more that this is space to voice those perspectives. As a recap from meeting 8, which was back in April now, I think that's been a while. So last time we had the technical consultants go over the outline for that technical memo for the demand management program framework. So they walked us through that. We talked about things like guiding principles. We went into the various components, those like expensive driven components, allocation, those various things of how to approach demand management. We affirmed that the board of directors expects to have a demand management program by January 2026. And so we talked through that timeline. And that led us to giving the green light for staff to develop a straw proposal for demand management. So that way we could move forward with the technical consultants doing that technical memo, as well as it getting our ideas down onto paper. So we have something to work with the straw proposal. And so today is going to be really, really focused on that, on the content of the straw proposal. So that's going to be the meat of today. So kind of like just looking at where we are with the overall framework of our timeline, we are definitely in that phase of like where we're exploring ideas, packaging up those ideas, and now we're starting to move into that where we are identifying things that we're starting to like and starting to refine those ideas. So we're starting to move towards into that phase, which is great. So again, we have kind of allocated 2 hours for this meeting. Vast majority is going to be on the straw proposal. We'll get there's not a lot. I mean, yeah, I'm 2/3 of a handout that Justin provided. So Justin's going to walk through us through that straw proposal. And so I'm going to ask folks, ask clarifying questions, but we're going to hold on discussion until after Justin goes through the straw proposal, so you can kind of get a sense for like the full package of it all. And then ton of time to that discussion. We'll walk through the bullet points for that straw proposal. And then we circulated the and examples of guiding principles that the technical consultants pulled together. So not since a lot of it is stuff that you've already seen, and since we wanted to focus primarily on the straw proposal, we allocated less time to that, but we'll see how far we get. But we want to prioritize the straw proposal. Any questions on the agenda? Anything folks want to add, or just anything you want to add?
I'll be giving everybody.
Oh, I said you did.
I got it.
Oh, it's again.
You got it, though.
All right.
Sure.
And that's the case. And as I mentioned before, Brendan's coming in later, so. That said, yeah, we should have done. Well, let's do a round of introductions before we dive into the straw proposal. And so, sorry, I didn't introduce myself at the beginning. This is what happens when we don't meet in for over a month. I'm Stephanie Horry. I'm with the Consensus Building Institute and serving as a facilitator. And so, let's do a round of introductions in the rooms, and I'll go to Justin.
Justin Jensen, Deputy Director of Public Works Water Resources.
Hal Crane, Groundwater Commission.
Steve Redwall, Grower. Ian Turnbull, Cabana Area.
Todd Hamer, Groundwater Commission.
Michael Ward, Groundwater Commission.
Bill Board.
Ed Myrie, Corning.
Thank you very much. And we'll expect Brendan to be joining us shortly. So with that, let's jump right into the straw proposal. So I'll turn it over to Justin.
All right. You know what? It's around it.
Sure. And I swear the temperature will go down in this room. That's what they can see.
Yeah,
I know.
No, we're also going to get a bright light, by the way. So, sweat you out.
Mm-hmm.
A bright light?
Yeah.
All right. Deal. So, what I've spoken a little bit about this out loud, about the things that I hear as key programmatic indicators for demand management. And really today, I want to have a conversation about these bullet points individually so I can start writing the programmatic pieces, right? Obviously, we don't want to put some huge lift into something that's going to be an absolute no. And so before we get the big overall pieces of the program really detailed out, ultimately I kind of see each one of these bullet points as an item that will have its own sort of total description, right? So we might handle these in pieces based on our time limits and how they go, and bring them back to you as sort of these individual pieces of the program. So starting with one total assumptive fee structure until triggers are hit. What that means is ultimately it's my goal to make this thing as easy for everybody to handle as it possibly can be. If we start breaking everything down into a whole bunch of different fee ranges and trying to get people to pay something for this and something for that and something for that, I fear that we're going to lose people in the middle and it's going to be a mess. And so it makes it a lot easier for people to follow, but B, it also allows us to put a more efficient fee avoidance based incentives program in place, right? When it's all one fee, people can see what they're paying and see what they're able to avoid, right? I think that that's a lot easier thing to manage.
But you're still avoiding, I mean, all the, but you talk about this incentive, some incentive fee structure here.
Yeah, we'll be talking about, I'll talk about that next. Yeah. So, and then ultimately, what I would like to do is start sort of advertising this idea that we can work now to avoid these fees or avoid portions of the fees. And right in the very beginning of this program, we can keep those fees to the administrative costs, right? And then you bump it up a step and you say, okay, now it's the administrative costs plus some of the other programmatic costs. And people can sort of like work their way into this fee structure as we move through. So it's not just tomorrow you're paying this big number. And it also gives that little bit of time for truly voluntary measures and also accounting as an outcome from our Prop 68 work, right? So how much water do we really need to get to? Where do we need to work through this? Fee avoidance-based incentives, I already gave everybody sort of a little printout of that item. So fee avoidance allows people to have less exposure to the cost of Sigma based on them doing actions that reduce their groundwater consumption. Oh, and there's a broad range of that, really. However, some of them fit within the assumptive parameter, meaning because we assign volumes to acreages and types of agriculture, We then can assign reductions, right, associated with reductions in things like acreages or type of agriculture. So examples of this, if when the time comes, someone who is growing walnuts, a relatively high demand water demand crop, decides that they are going to switch to olives, per se, a significantly lower demand crop, right? That's that sort of change in what you're growing and get to in order to get that lower benefit. So that could be an incentivized thing that could be assumptive. The other side of that is a grower says, hey, I am going to reduce my total production of the crop I already have by 5%, right? That's an assumptive reduction as well. That's just the same math we use to give the assumptive fee can go the other way to give the assumptive incentive. When we talk about other items that are reduction based, they are not so easy to quantify. So let's say, for example, something like polymerized soil amendment, right? Polymerized soil amendment does, in fact, reduce the amount of water you need to use to grow a crop. Costs money and there's work involved in it, but it is not linear. And so there's going to have to be some sort of evidentiary requirement associated with that. And this is likely going to have to be like a meter to volunteer for this program. So when we step into the next bit of this, which is we all talked about, these sort of programs to help small farmers. And obviously, we've got a little work to do to define what that means as we move through this. But also, there, I think that there's the most room to be gained in efficiency programs through the smaller growers, right? Most of the bigger guys waters money, right? And they have already done the math on the work they can do to get as efficient as they can to keep their cost per acre to grow their crops down, right? These are things that large scale businesses are likely already doing. Anecdotally, I hear from lots of small growers that are like, yeah, on Tuesday morning at this time, I go in and turn my pump on for 3 hours, right? That is where I think there's a lot of room to improve these efficiency characteristics and maybe get a lot of bang for the buck, even though it's in small acreages, right? All right. So, and then how are we going to sort of manage demand management, right? We all know and we've all talked about how it's different in different places. The needs for action are different in different places. And we need to sort of put together areas that share triggers, right, for how we're going to move forward. So that is grouping polygons into those with similar safe yields per sub-basin. So the math that goes into creating the safe yield data is the same in every polygon. And so the outcome of characteristics is likely fairly similar. And whether or not we say, I'm not actually saying that we should use the safe yield number as a trigger or workout, we're using it to group polygons together with similar characteristics. Does this make sense? And so you've seen that map that was produced by Eddie and is all on your demand management group. It has the shades of blue, right? So similar shades of blue equal similar groups of characteristics. All right. Create triggers based on distance from recorded mean fall low and multiple sites meeting the trigger for more than 1 year. This would be the same rule for each group, right? And so, what that means is when you set up your triggers, right, a singular polygon setting the first trigger does not enact the action, right? You're sort of averaging this across a group of polygons. And that way, you're not just immediately jumping on one place, dipping below that trigger level for a short period of time, right? The triggers are based on full monitoring areas within these polygons, within those grouped together polygons, meeting a criteria to set that trigger off. And then no action would occur if trigger is hit within the first 5 years to allow projects and voluntary reduction time to come online. So I heard you guys saying, look, if we just go right into this tomorrow, right, there's going to be this incredible level of harm and no one has had any time to plan. And also, we don't know whether or not other programs are going to work, right? We're talking about things like recharge. We're talking about things like voluntary incentives. Give that stuff time to work to its maximum benefit. And then we start talking about where those triggers are and when we're going to hit. All right. And then lastly, triggers institute fees associated with cost of care. So because we're not setting, right, an amount of safe yield for any given area and how much water can be pumped, and then restricting that based on metering, right? Like allocation, a true allocation-based system would be. We need to use a our assumptive fee program, right? Ramped up with cost to cure based on those trigger setups. And you'll see here I gave like this sort of example. And by the way, these numbers aren't numbers that we're going to use. They're examples of what numbers could look like, right? Trigger one, all assumptive or metered, by the way. So agriculturalists get the choice as to whether the assumptive fee is best for their program or metering is best for their program, right? And how they're going to run all of their things together. So it gives a lot of freedom to have flexibility in these programs and for those who are growing to choose.
Back up and repeat that sentence. The beginning, I missed the first part of that.
There are sort of two ways that you can go down this road of managing what we call, volumetric measurement, right? The assumptive fees, right? Acres of what is grown, right? With an assumptive volumetric use. The other side of that is metered actual data of use. Okay. And then because some agriculturalists will say, hey, look, I don't want to go through this huge programmatic lift to try and put myself into a system where I'm going to meter and go down this road of, reporting this and get my fee base set on there. I just want a simplified program that says, here's what I'm exposed to and here's what I'm going to do. That you can be in that assumptive fee category. Or you can voluntarily be in the metered category that says, here's the actual amount I'm using, not the assumptive fee. I want to use that as my number as opposed to the assumption. This makes sense? So that way, agriculturalists get the flexibility of how the program is going to work for them, right? And if you are going to do activities that do not have a set assumptive relief of fee, right, then you can meter to prove that. All right. So examples of potential triggers that could work. So trigger one, assumptive or metered. So use greater than 3.5 acre feet per acre, charge $60 per acre foot. Trigger two.
For everything over 3.5.
Exactly.
Okay.
For everything over 3.5. Trigger two. So as you're falling and you're meeting these trigger points based on monitoring, trigger two, all use above 3 acre feet per acre, charge $60 per acre foot, right? That's that next step of reduction or that next step of cost of cure and so on, right? Eventually, we're going to get to a point where those numbers get large and, that is, then it's, these things are business decisions about cost to cure versus cost to reduce water use. And that allows the broadest amount of flexibility for someone to decide how they want to go down this road and handle this. So that is the key items associated with the straw proposal. And so now what I'd like to do is have a discussion about each one of these so that I can proceed with writing up more detailed bits for each one of these program sections. Shall we start with one total assumptive fee structure.
I have a question that ties from the last one.
Yeah, yeah.
To know that it ties to that first one.
Yeah.
How do you, so if you're not metering and using the assumptive, how do you come up with a charge, or how do you know what the actual acre feet applied is to?
You know, you're using the assumptive volume. So if you're growing 500 acres of walnuts and the assumptive volume is 4 acres per 4 acre foot per acre, whatever that is, when we finally agree on those numbers, I'm just using examples. If that is the case, right?
And it's automatic. You're
it's automatic. You're getting charged over that extra 0.5. Does that make sense?
Conceptually, yeah.
Yeah. So let's start talking about one total assumptive fee structure. We're going to have multiple programs in place. I mean, I'm including things like well mitigation, right, in this assumptive fee structure. So the programmatic baselines are the programmatic baselines across the entire board. With the thought being that obviously, if you're doing things that avoid fee, right, fee-based incentives, you are also reducing the need to do things like manage a well mitigation program at scale, right? So you're removing yourself from programmatically from a significant portion of what needs to happen, as opposed to programmatically from just one little incentive-based fee.
What is a broader programmatic fee?
Broader programmatic fee means everything together. So we're going to have demand management, well mitigation, fees associated with the administration, fees associated with things like, you know, legal response, things of that nature, right? So these are these groups of fees that will all end up in just one fee bracket, so that there is a total volume, say, cost per acre foot, right? There's one fee that everybody pays. So that covers all of the programs.
And these fees,
no matter how big you are.
That's on planted acreage you're proposing?
Yeah, the assumptive fee would be acreage times the volume.
Per irrigated acre.
Per irrigated acre. So it's acre feet. You're getting charged for acre foot of use.
And it's assumed based on 3H that the assumptive use would be a function of acreage plus and age.
Yeah, there's a modifier to everything, okay. Right? So you're going to get these modifiers, and that's how it will step up.
And if you choose, you can meter to not make it assumed, but make it
real. Yeah. I mean, I think we all know there are places where they use more and places that use less water,
sure,
right? Depending on what you have and what's happening. And also maybe you have a little bit of excess to surface water that we don't know about, or something of that nature, and you're using less. You may choose to say, hey, this isn't the water that I'm using, right? And then you can prove that by...
But it's an assumed number until we prove otherwise with a meter. Okay.
And when you this fee structure you're talking about is solely for the generation of funds to run the demand management program, or is this all of
them? Every program.
So this is the broader fee structure.
Everything in one.
So a wellhead fee is not part of this equation now.
There is a wellhead fee. Everybody, there's a baseline wellhead fee that will be taken out of the total administrative costs, right? Because ultimately, you can't go below the administrative cost of having a GSA, right? You always have to have that. That is going to have to be in place. Otherwise, you can't have a GSA. And so there's a cost to have a GSA. That's a relatively small cost in comparison, right?
This is all programmatic is what you're talking about now.
And so you're going to have a portion of your fee that is administrative divided across a wellhead fee, right? So that's that sort of bit of baseline stuff. And then you're going to have the volumetric stuff cover all of the programs and everything above and beyond.
What is the fee for each domestic well?
Well, it's small, right? So if you think of it this way, I mean, I don't know that.
There will be a fee for each domestic well.
That's correct. Okay. A wellhead fee.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get programmatic fees, just a wellhead fee, because you're not participating in demand management.
Right? Minimus use.
Yeah. And so that's just the administrative baseline gets divided across everybody, because it's a function of protection of everybody, right? And everybody's involved in.
Will that be based off of horsepower or casing size or
No, it'll be based off of assumptive use for like number of residences. So say for
So if I've
example.
got 10 acres, one house, I'll be charged the same as if I have a quarter of an acre in one house.
That's true. That's correct.
That's not going well. Yeah, that's important.
Good luck with that one.
Well, it
So, a domestic well in many cases does more than provide water to a house.
that's correct. Yeah, but on well registration forms, people have reported to us if it does more than provide water to a house.
Sure
Right. Yeah, in all of this, you're going to have some amount of trust in those realities. Anybody can game any system if they wanted to.
except for
And
the accusers will be there.
no. You can go with the assumptive fee. And that fee is based on what you reported for your use in your well registration. So you have just as much opportunity to lie as anybody else.
I would make a suggestion that since we're paying GSA administrative fee, that the GSA folks that are getting paid to administer the GSA can verify the horsepower or casing size of the domestic wells on parcels larger than X.
Could that go into the appeals process that?
Yeah, it could. I'm just going to put one thing out there about that, just as a response to that, and think about this. We're creating a larger bureaucracy to do that.
The bureaucracy is enormous already. Do the work. We're paying you for it.
I mean, if that's what you guys want, it's cool. I mean, I'm just telling you it's all a scale, right? And so if you add more things to those, you're just increasing the scale. It doesn't, I'm not arguing whether you should or should not increase the scale. I'm just saying that it will.
Do others want to jump in on that idea? Like the current thought is that as part of maybe the appeals process that someone could better verify their usage by rather than just a straight flat wellhead fee, use information like casing size or horsepower to adjust what they're paying.
Yeah, horsepower is a tough one because that might have a lot to do with the depth of the well, but we could do it. The other option to do it is by, satellite data. If you clearly have, sort of a hobby farm or something of that nature within there, you'll get a different fee structure than if you don't.
That's probably what you need.
I think that
They
might
don't
be
have
better.
that land IQ. Yeah.
Yeah, there's ways to do it, right?
Somehow we
Yeah.
should account for the fact
And
that.
the people have 5 acres of lawn, but no, I got you. I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a 7-horse well on my house.
Yeah.
It's only feeding my house.
What's your casing size?
6 or 8.
Yeah, generally speaking, you can do off casing size too, right? Which is what the wellhead fee is doing. But realistically, in modern times, you can stuff a pretty damn big pump in a pretty small casing
Yeah,
nowadays.
and every well's different.
And every well's different,
Most
right?
people don't know that.
I don't know.
A lot of people do
I
not.
know we don't know what the total cost to run this GSA is yet because it depends on demand or well mitigation and what have you. But can you give us some kind of a snapshot on how many dollars it's
Yeah.
going to take?
I
What's the
think,
number that you think all this has to add up to?
yeah, so right now I say we're in the neighborhood of 300, 350,000 total acre foot in assumptive fees, right? So that number. And we need in the neighborhood of, we'll call it, oh, 20 some odd million.
Beat that.
So you get $20 million budget over 325,000 acres of irrigated.
That's probably where that outcome is. Right. Hold on one second. I did this math once already.
320,000. Not so much.
Okay.
20 million divided by 325.
Hold on. Let me do this math one more time.
Irrigated.
Before we go down doing this, let me do this math.
That's
Lord,
okay.
I have this number.
We're just getting some idea where we're at.
There a draft budget for $20 million?
There is. Sorry. 2.6 million. I was off by one
Yeah, I
magnitude.
was going to say.
2.6
And
million.
other counties are in
Yeah.
nowhere
No,
close.
sorry. Off by one whole magnitude. That's why I said, hold on, let me look at this really quick. I do have a draft budget on my computer.
So that's eight.
Obviously, it's very draft
Sure,
right now.
that's $8 a foot.
But
Eight
yeah,
bucks an acre.
in that $8 range. But ultimately, it depends on how big we scale these programs. You can be $15
That
an
was
acre foot
your off
easily.
3 acre feet, and a half acre feet.
No, it's just per
Acre.
acre.
325,000 acres is what he
No,
wants.
325,000 acre feet.
City.
Assumed.
Oh, yeah, because right now. It's not irrigated acres. It's
Yeah.
about 60.
Oh, okay. I was
What are we, 100 and, what did we say, 100 and how many thousand irrigated acres?
Yeah, it's 100 and.
That's, you better look at that, because that changes the thinking, what people are talking about.
So the 325K is acre feet of consumption.
It's total assumed acre foot of
that's a calc I mean, that's a pie in the sky thing. That's an assumed number.
That is an
what's actual irrig what's actual irrigated acres with groundwater irrigated acres?
It's about a 105 or 10,000.
Yeah. So 100, no, 60, 70.
So that's almost $25 an acre. 24.76 an acre.
Yeah.
3 acre feet or three.
No, that's just per acre per irrigated.
You're dividing that off. If you're dividing that cost of.
You said plus or minus 110,000 acres.
That's around where my number, where the number is total. And obviously, we're talking about averages and changes all the time.
It's $25 an acre.
This seems high. Just I'm trying to remember the GSP and,
yep,
and what was in there. And I just, that number doesn't
well
ring true.
There's two things. One is when we created those initial fees, which was in 2020, right, a long time ago, it is different now. There are lots of things that are different now. And I worked with the consultant to put together some estimates of costs of certain activities. And that's where this number is playing out to right now. So there's
that's not a programmatic. That is simply.
That's the total. We're talking about the total programmatic fees.
Yeah, that's more realistic to me. Thank you.
Total fees.
Yeah, so programmatic fees weren't included in the assessments anyway.
It's total fees.
Total fees. Total fees. Yeah, we're talking about the broad number.
Yeah, as far as the domestic, I recommend keeping it as simple as possible. And yeah, there may be some people that end up getting away with something, but you start making it more complicated and your administrative costs are just going to go up.
And their contribution to the total use is probably still pretty minimal. You have 5 acres of pasture, you know.
If it, in the end, when we all put this all together, if their assumptive use is greater than 5%, I'm going to be surprised. No, I'm not saying I can't be wrong. I'm just saying I'm going to be surprised.
Yeah. I thought more in a week than 5%.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, also, I would just forewarn anybody that you want to be careful about how you approach these different groups. You don't want to start a freaking hornet's nest over a very small amount of money in total where people get too complicated and then they don't want to deal with it and it upsets them, right? So
to Brendan's point, I think what he wants is an equal distribution.
I get it. And I agree. Yeah. To the greatest extent possible, we should try to get an equal distribution of how this thing works.
It's going to be hard enough just selling a wellhead fee for these domestic wells.
Indeed it is.
Huh?
Indeed it is. Big lift.
I mean, the reason, you know, and I don't just might be a little bit weighting the issue, but for a reason, because the concept is that there's only one bad actor, and the bad actor has to pay for everybody's ills, regardless of the makeup of their well, right? So when their well could be 50 years old and drilled with who knows what and have a terrible something in it, and the well goes dry and the divine bad actor has to pay for that.
Yeah.
So
I get the
bad actor. That's something that needs to be recognized. And so if we're going to pay for every domestic well, have insurance on every domestic well in the county, then we ought to have all domestic wells paying into the insurance pocket.
Yeah, I'm not
appropriate rate. I know you're not saying. I'm just saying.
Well, I am not arguing that. Yeah,
it's not a discount.
Yes, and I know. I hopefully you've all heard me say in meetings, right? Everybody should be paying their proportionate share, right? Yeah. If you are this proportion of the issue, you pay that proportion of the fix.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not. I do not think that.
anybody should be exempted from it because everybody benefits from it. All users of groundwater benefit from the management of groundwater, no matter who you are. So,
as a matter of process, I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the meeting. The straw proposal I thought we might see today was, I was thinking would be more all-encompassing, but we're just focusing on the fee structure at the beginning.
No, this is everything. What you see right here on your list is not just a fee structure. It's about incentives to avoid fees. What you probably saw the email that I sent out about what those incentives could look like and whether they could be fee avoidance and not, and what could be sort of in those categories of the more non-rigid methodology, right? This sort of first crack at trying to fix it without restricting use.
I have one copy of that if folks needed to see what Justin had emailed.
And so no, this is more than just money.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I vaguely remember within the Sigma law language, there was something to the effect that that this wasn't intended to regulate domestic wells.
Yep. Regulation is different, though, than participation in administrative fees for a function.
So has fees been applied to domestic wells elsewhere and been successful as far as any kind of challenge?
You know, I would have to look at that. I believe the answer is actually yes, that it's been successful. But also the state itself, in their mandatory fee structure, if you go into probation, has fees for domestic wells. So they themselves are interpreting their law to allow cheap fees to be charged to domestics for certain types of activities.
Okay.
Doesn't it also depend on what kind of agency you are, right?
It totally does. Yes, it totally would. So
meaning
that GSAs are made up of all different types of governmental agencies or quasi-governmental agencies, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. they all have different authorities and powers. And right in the Sigma law, it says this does not take away from the other authorities associated with whatever governmental agency is the GSA. And so they're intended to complement that. If you're a GSA and you're an agency that had no power to regulate water in any way, right, then you would have no power at all. And so they give you these, here's your GSA set of powers, but also you can use your own powers to regulate groundwater as well. So, and because we're a flood control and water conservation district, we have some other powers associated with regulating groundwater.
Can you elaborate on the absolute minimum fees, 2 years, and the broader programmatic fees?
So I think that we should start this off with, you know, sort of an administrative fee in the beginning. Right? It just says, hey, we're going to ramp this thing up, right? Get ourselves to where we're administrating these larger programs and putting them in place. Right. And then start the expenditures associated with those programs at a slightly later date. And so people can say, hey, we're going to pay this administrative fee for a couple of years, and then we're going to start in earnest some of these programs a couple of years, and then we're going to put triggers into place after that. So you get this sort of stepped program of how you're going to step into this.
So keep the lights on type of thing is $700,000-$800,000 a year is what you're looking at total.
That's kind of my feel. Yeah. I really hope it's under a million.
As long as your grant money holding out.
First of 2026.
April. Done.
Early 2026. And that doesn't mean we won't get more. That doesn't mean we won't be applying for more. Obviously we're going to try that. And every time we do get grant funds, they will help to reduce the overall burden. Also, the great thing about doing this administrative cost in the beginning is then we get to see what the state's going to come out with for grant packages in the future that can help us, you know, model it, moderate the costs of doing the programs.
We generally don't ever see a reduction in fees, though.
Yes.
That's why I want to start small,
Right.
I don't want to get in this thing where we're charging some huge fee and then it's, we realistically don't quite need that much. And but there's no you can't backpedal very easily. You know what I mean?
So I think Corning sub-basin GSA actually they passed a fee and the actual fee was ended up being lower. It was not to exceed. And
Yep.
I
That's
don't
what you
remember the numbers,
pass the
but
we'll pass the
basically
fee
they
structure.
didn't
The
say.
whole fee structure you want to pass at once. And the reason why that is with flexibility in it, and the reason why that is you want people to know what they're going potentially going to get exposed to, right? And ramp up to that number. So you're going to put the numbers out there. We're going to say, here's the administration fee. In 2 years, we're going to tack on a number not to exceed this amount. And in 2 years, we're going to start triggers and there have dollar values not to exceed this amount. So that everybody can be as soon as possible, understanding what their potential exposure at
And
risk
so
is.
then each year, the actual fee is agreed to by the GSA.
I think you probably want to do it in a couple year type blocks, but yes, there'll be reviews of the fees over time with set timelines.
Yes. So let me back up just a second. So this, I mean, this is the demand management group here. Is this, I mean, is this going to be on the demand management group to develop and recommend the fee structure?
Nope.
Or you're just
But
inviting us, because this to me is a, like a general groundwater commission discussion
the
that then gets a recommendation, right?
reason why I'm bringing this up in response to what demand management is that you're going to have, you are talking about having fee avoidance in there. So I want you to know what you could be avoiding.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
And that's all. That's the reason for it. I'm not asking necessarily that we decide in this room what fees are going to be. I don't want that.
So we know for the greater plan that we're doing here, you're saying it runs out the funding in April of 2026, so this fee discussion has to be taking place pronto.
That's what's happening. That's the other reason why I'm talking about this now is because I'm going to start talking about it in public meetings and we're going to start talking about getting this fee together.
It's
It takes some time to do.
off subject here. I'm just curious. I don't see how the fee structure could keep the lights on and have that in place by April, but that's
Yeah,
another
I don't
different
think.
topic, different room.
And I don't know that April's the drop dead deadline, right? I mean, obviously, I'm not an agency with $0 without that funding.
So probably different topic, different time.
And how are the fees going to be collected?
Well, I would always be a proponent that you put it on tax bills because it is actually way cheaper. And therefore reduces the cost of doing so. If you have independent billing, and I'm sure anybody who's worked in utilities and knows this about independent billing, it's expensive to run. And so if you can do it on an already billed methodology, you're going to save yourself a huge amount of money. And I know people hate the idea of getting something on their tax bill. I get it, and I understand why, but hopefully we can get everybody to understand that it's to save them money, real money. We're not talking about a little bit.
I think the deadline for that is April.
It's actually end of July.
July.
Is it to get it on the bill?
The
To
following
get it on the following set of bills, which
next
is
year.
what my goal is to do, by the way.
That's going to be a little bit sticky to tease out the irrigated acres on a tax bill that just has gross acres on it.
Yeah, no,
That's going to have to be some sort of
we
data collection.
yeah, how we do that is we report each APN's cost to the tax assessor. And so when we do that, we will be grouping ownerships of APNs together and sending them bills of exposure based on
Yeah, but
APN.
just the acreage on the APN doesn't tell the story though of what's actually irrigated with groundwater.
Agreed. Yeah, no, we're going to be using data supplied to us through well registration for
That you
determining.
don't really have all of that already.
I have a lot of that.
Okay. How much are you
Yeah.
short?
And by the way, those that do not register, and obviously this is not for here either, I am going to be recommending that they get charged the assumptive fee as though they're irrigating their acreage. Because let me just be clear and honest, you had the chance to be up front and tell everybody what you're using and how it works, and it shouldn't be somebody else's onus to pay. to investigate you to determine what you're doing, right? And so I think that that's like an unfair cost to the rest of the people who are doing this thing if you don't go down that road. Ultimately, I don't know that that will happen. That would be my recommendation.
And that's also another reason why you want an appeals process. Because if someone hasn't submitted that information, gets the assumptive fee, but then has information to prove like that they're using actually fewer acres for irrigation.
100%. They can come register, right? And give us the data and change their fee, right? We want to be able to do that. So I think you just keep it that way, right? It'll just change their fee for the next cycle, right? But I think that another good reason to wait until that sort of July deadline of next year is that you can give people lots and lots of public warning that this stuff's coming, right? Hey, look, you really want to come do this. You really want to finish your well completion, your well registrations. You really want to go through this process. Otherwise, this is the potential risk to you in the future. So that people have lots of warning. I don't want to spring stuff on people like that.
So you plan to put this on these fees on the tax roll by July 2026.
So, by the way, that was in my very first presentation of fees. Just so you all know, I've been on the same target since my fifth day in this position. So,
and to get those on, it goes that approval from the flood control
board of directors. Yeah.
Justin, can you help me with some of the timing of things? Like, one, the board wanted the domestic program ready by January of 2026.
Yes.
July 2026 is when you need to have the fees to the assessor to get onto the tax bill.
Yes.
So what needs to be figured out by January 2026 to get us to that July? And I'm trying to figure out what level of detail
we'll have to know the programmatic cost, right, in that time frame. Mm-hmm. Because once I can't assign a cost to a program until we decide what the program is, right? I can't just say, otherwise it's all a guess. Right. And by the way, I have place markers in there as a guess. So I am accounting for that. However, it could be much bigger or much smaller ultimately based on what's voted into place. So, there's ranges there. And that's why I have to have it voted into place before I can put it into the feed program.
So far, go ahead.
Brandon probably talked to this better than I could, but the historic situation with the irrigated lands program basing fees on irrigated acres has been kind of nightmare. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And that's technically not what we're doing. You're getting an assumptive use, an assumptive volume.
I think this different than that. That's all just self-reported irrigated acres, and it's been good enough. This is a much more technical approach.
It is.
By using satellite data to really look at the technical ability to determine irrigated acres has come a long, long way since we started the irrigated land.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be hard to cheat. I will say that.
Yeah. Type of analysis that didn't exist when we built the. And they haven't revamped the irrigated lands language or feed case, restructure, because they haven't had to.
Yeah.
It's been enough. Maybe too much, I don't know. But anyway, it's working. We may not want to open that can. as a process, trying to keep our time well spent, from what I'm reading so far on the surface, there's nothing offensive.
I'm happy. It's all offensive. I get it.
But offensive beyond your expectations.
Offensive beyond your expectations.
Like, we knew 10 years ago that meters on well was going to be a thing, right?
Stuff's coming.
I've been policing the meters that I agree with. And so. And other people have talked about that too. And then there's the people, they're going to come get through my lock gate in the shop. They're going to know what I'm going to be here.
And this covers that too. right?
That's fine too, because then the satellite data will be used, right?
So that needs to be that way.
Assumptive or presumptive use.
Yeah. Yep.
So they won't need to go through the gate with the shotgun. So that's fine.
That's my general
term. We have, according to the data, and the data can be argued. I don't know whether we're going to win any of those arguments, but we're using more water. We're in overdraft.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then we have the subsidence data that's sort of come to light, although it's been in existence, but it's changing. The way we're looking at it is different than the way we looked at it a year ago.
Yes.
So not new data, but new perspective. Adding to the fact that the calculations say we're in overdraft. So we're not getting away from anything. So what I'm getting at is we could sit here and sort of argue the what ifs. There's not enough here for me to be able to sort of talk about the what ifs until you really have a draft.
Yeah. Ultimately,
if you hand me the draft of the proposal, I think all the things you've said that you're going to put in your proposed demand management program, they're relatively reasonable, and they're that way because they've probably been debated to a greater extent in other locations. So
sure,
you're not recreating something here. You're using a lot of existing concepts and applying them to our local area. So I don't know that it's useful for us to kind of dig through these details and tell you it's in front of it, unless you specifically say, I'm stuck on this one.
Yep.
Right. And then you say, here's three options, or here's, you know, the range of options, which one is more palatable or more palatable to this? that's kind of our,
that's what I want,
our input, right?
It's 100%.
We're not writing it.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's going to be written like other ones were written. We don't have a lot to change from my perspective.
Yep.
The devil's in the details and the nuances of the how the final document is written and then how it is applied in our
case. Yep.
Right. So are we at, I don't know, without that draft document, if we're spending the time sort of debating details if we don't have the full details or full picture of.
Yeah. That's right. And it isn't my goal today to actually debate the details. What I want to know is, when you look at this, is there anything that stands out as we're not going to be able to tolerate that, or it's not going to be able to work? Because what I don't want to do is put a lot of effort into, I've already started drafting these, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not in absence. Yeah. This has already been, I'm already doing this work, but I just want to make, that's right. Soon.
Look,
and so
certainly September timeframe.
Yeah, it needs to happen soon. And so that's kind of why I'm saying, okay, I'm working on this now. I am putting lots of effort into doing this, but what I don't want to do is get into a corner where I have to redo a bunch of that work and waste a whole bunch of time. And so, because we all say in this room, wait, we can't do that.
So sorry if I'm taking too much
time. No, go ahead.
But the answer to your first question is nothing is jumping out at me as like overly offensive. And again, until we kind of see the full picture, I'm not sure I can answer that either. The fees are, obviously all of us are going to say it shouldn't cost that much, but it's going to. Is $25 an acre too much? I don't know. Anyway, I think where I will be interested in understanding the details is this 1, 2, 3, 4th bullet down here about grouping polygons. You think, for me personally, and this is, and other people may have a similar opinion, I know Bill will, how making sure, or what is the mechanism by which when we hit triggers that we allocate the
assumptive yield,
yeah,
the assumptive yield.
Yeah. When we, whatever trigger it is, making sure that we're doing it use fair, but in an appropriate way,
mm-hmm.
to say that we're not treating a guy that's in an area where clearly groundwater levels are stable and their wells are, you know, in a stable groundwater state, in a stable table, and they're doing the right things, versus people who are wells that are in less stable areas. So that's, for me personally, where I'm going to say, how are we going to decide when, as a total county, we're in oak draft? How do we decide what does that mean for all of the water users? And,
yeah.
And is it done appropriately?
Yep.
People's fair.
And you're on grouping polygons right now. That's your.
Yeah, if that was.
So is that kind of linked?
That's the intent. That's what that means. Yeah, that's the intent. So similar conditions, right? Places that are having issues get treated differently than places that are not.
Right. So right. On that, that's where my concern is, because we looked at that safe yield data that pretty much alarmed most of us.
Yes.
So that's
like safe yield.
That's why I'm with you. That's why I'm with you. That we need to see how that looks and,
right.
and what they're using as the metric, because
right.
likely we're going to have some issues.
The rest of the, you know, the things you had. And,
right. Conceptually, not an issue, but
yeah, and options for incentivized demand management. Reasonable and makes sense, right? It's like,
good.
All right, yes, we should be, if we're using too much water, fallowing is an option. If you want to fallow some of your, what could be irrigated acreage, you should get credit for. If you're doing better irrigation, all these things are generally common sense, make sense, and they're not new. But how do we, when the demand management is, when we do demand management, which is curtailment potentially, how is it applied?
Yep.
That's where I need to have, where I will have some more input and would like better understanding of how do you develop fees for other programs? And we're not going to like it if it's more than a dollar, so we're just not going to like it.
So how about I bring that one to our next meeting and we start diving into that one? Because I actually agree with you.
Okay.
That's what probably the most important thing, right?
For the best use of our time.
And the short time frame we got to get done.
The short time frame we have, I would like to focus on implementation of demand management versus the demand management program.
The little bits and pieces.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
What happens when?
We're on the same page.
Okay. Because I think
that's fantastic.
What this is here today, the only piece of that, of these bullet points, you know, well, I guess I'll everything below that group polygon is part of that, right? Well, because it's triggers and distance recording.
Well, how does 5 relate to 4? I mean, creating based on distance from recorded, I need some explanation.
You're talking about water level errors.
Well, it's a water level based, monitored water level basis.
Yeah.
So as you're falling,
right,
and you're getting closer and closer to a place where you're going to create an issue, the triggers will begin to ramp up, right? And if it continues to fall, you will continue to hit triggers and you will continue to incur costs. This is not, we shut you off, by the way.
No, but
the
management will ramp up.
Exactly.
So you, and we, so that's what I would also like to understand. What is, if you get a trigger, what's the first thing we do?
Yep.
What's the second thing we'll do?
Mm-hmm.
But grouping, the word grouping is vague for me at the moment. I understand the polygons and so on. And what's offensive to many of us is like, why is Dairyville considered to be an overdraft?
Right? Yeah.
When all of us who are water users understand that it's not.
Yeah. You know, ultimately, that's why I think putting triggers on water levels is way, way better suited to reality, right?
Right. And then,
you don't
and
want
to. Then we get into this other discussion about, you know, monitoring wells versus wells,
mm-hmm.
and how are they constructed? Mm-hmm. They use yada yada yada. So
that's ultimately you're going to have to pick one devil.
Yeah, we right. may it may be in our best interest to allocate one time funds for X number of monitoring wells and really, really. Strategic locations.
Yep. And you're getting more right now, by the way.
Yeah.
This grant is producing more monitoring wells. We are increasing that already. Good multi-completion
like,
monitoring wells.
If you put up with polygons, if there's like one on the edge of a polygon and the rest of the polygon is treated,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
based off of what that one well is doing, and it's not a monitoring well. Like, That's kind of bad science.
actually, what it is a lack of data. But there's nothing we can do about that, right? We have to put a plan together.
Yes.
We have to create monitoring.
But one might say it might be good money well spent to put a sophisticated monitoring well in an appropriate area of that polygon so that a polygon could be treated appropriately.
Agreed.
Not inappropriately grouped.
I actually totally agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's expand that to the greatest extent possible.
I'm going to do a time check because we have about half an hour for just generally on this topic. And so, the first question is a bit of like what you were both alluding to of this gut check of is Justin in the right direction with this draw proposal to really start delving into coming back next time with more of those details. Is Justin in going in the right direction, or are there major red flags and concerns do folks have that they want to voice to Justin?
I've got a question on that. So we've got a consultant that's done these plans, these demand management plans, that's been working on it. So what's the feedback on this draw proposal? I assume they know what it's going to take to meet DWR requirements. Did they review this list and say this is comprehensive?
I have gotten some initial basically baseline stuff that it could work, but the devil's in the details, right? Just like we're talking about now.
Well, but conceptually
there
was not issues of some another bullet point that's completely different.
I have not gotten that feedback. So and I'm doing the same thing with them, right? Where it's like, hey, is any of this stand out as something crazy? So
yeah, we were
missing something. How do you
or is there something we're not thinking of?
How do you plan on dealing with in some of the areas, the seasonal, spring to fall fluctuation is 30, 40 feet.
Sure.
How do you plan on dealing with that? Has that always been that way?
Yeah. I think that when you set triggers based on one of the two parameters, fall or spring, right? Fall is probably the better one. Then you naturally are not accounting for that. It's just solely how low it gets. Because
from one fall to another.
From one fall to another, comparative to the next, that's indicative of something that can cause harm where you continue to just draw this scale down. This scale is not important as this scale in that regard.
I just want to make a point, Justin. On bullet number four, again, grouping polyfunds. I like that you're grouping based on a safe yield. I think it has to be broader than that and also include land use if you can. So what kind of land use actions are taking place in those areas? I think it's a factor that has to be considered.
Yeah, when we get in a room, I'll bring the map, right? I'll get us a nice big map. We can sit down and talk about what that is. And I will also point out the abnormalities when we do this, because there are some, right? We all know that there are some abnormalities in the data and there's some abnormalities in the way these things are colored. And we're probably going to end up having to address those in this room, right? Say, hey, look, this doesn't look right. Let's talk about where that is. And we might have to recategorize it. And I think that that's important.
Yeah. The question I have is it's right.
Not what you want here.
Ultimately, when we get to MTs, right, you're talking about some pretty, pretty high costs of water. And at some point, everybody in this room that's a businessman associated with water, hopefully harm you to an extent where you can no longer be profitable, right? And so that will itself.
I just want to understand the relationship between triggers and then thresholds. Or undesirable results.
Yeah, it'll be spanned, right? As you're approaching. So the scale is right now, as you're approaching your threshold, right? You're going to create triggers that slowly go into place with the most significant ones happening when you get down to your MT. So it's going to scale up, 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 up.
You just said that there's were suggested there's a major economic impact when you hit a minimum threshold. That means reduce pumping or alternative water use. Is that why you say that?
No, well, it may.
Or using
an increased potential cost of using to use less water, right? Okay. So you might have to. Everybody's going to make their own decisions about how this works,
yes.
But you might have to find another source of water.
Yeah.
You might have to, otherwise you're essentially paying us to do that, right? As you increase these things programmatically.
Oh,
and saying, I want you to be able to do that because I think that you can do it cheaper than me. I mean, just to be clear. In fact, I know that you can do it cheaper than me. So ultimately, and I want you to have some flexibility in how you do it. But if there is no other way to do it, right, then the onus will become the district's.
The other way to say it is that we're trying to create a program which incentivizes the water users to do the things that are necessary to not get to critical thresholds.
Bingo.
And it'll be punitive as we get closer to that.
And it will be a combination of their cost of finding alternative sources in more fees
versus the cost of us doing it, right?
You're going to charge more.
That's
the program,
right.
You would suggest that the program is going to charge more for users in those areas that are in critical overdrafts.
Correct.
Okay. That's the right
term. You won't actually generate more water. You're not going to come up with more water. You're just going to increase the fees.
Ultimately, I think the goal would be to invest that money in creating more,
but it's more
water access. But you're right. I'm glad that you just said that out loud because it is this point of, look, at some point, water is going to be hard to get.
The only place you make new water is reservoir.
That's right. That's sort of this long-term thought, right? Hey, man, hopefully at some point we can get to a point where we can start storing big bulk water.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. But
there is no new water.
There's not new water. Yeah.
So at some point, do we actually go into an allocation or do we just, you can keep pumping as long as you're willing to pay? Because at some point, the state's going to say, that doesn't work, and
you can actually
reduce your water.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. There are tons and tons and tons of bodies of work out there that talk about how changing the cost of water reduces the use of water. And those studies, I think, indicate that it works. Right? Yeah, and so
$1,000 an acre foot water in San Joaquin has changed property values.
What's that?
$3,000 an acre foot water in the San Joaquin Valley, the west side of the San Joaquin Valley, has changed cropping patterns.
100%. And so we all know you start to get to these huge numbers. I mean, you're throwing a lot of money to grow something and it's not economical. I mean, ultimately, you won't be able to last doing that. So there becomes a time when it becomes essentially a restriction.
And that comes into that periodic evaluation adaptation kind of process, right?
Yep.
Then at what point, I mean, because $60 an acre foot water, you can survive on.
That's right.
$300 an acre foot water, you can survive on. They did a couple of years ago. At what point do we take that into the point where, you know, if we're below RMTs, we have to do something that actually stops use of water.
And that's why we're going to talk about that scale. I will need your guys' help to understand sort of where those numbers lie.
And
because
that's why I got Sigma. Because at $4 Ammons and 3,000 pounds Ammons, people were paying $3,000 an acre foot for some of their
water. Time to get over the hump.
Because they had $15,000 to $20,000 an acre invested in a crop. At $2 Ammons, this is a different story. So, but at $4 Ammons, people were making what was considered to be unsustainable or bad decisions about water use. And so that's why we have Sigma, because we, the, state looked at it and said, they're not doing it on their own. They keep using too much water. We need to have Sigma.
Yep.
That's my interpretation.
I would tend to agree with that. Yeah.
Had the water users sort of done the right thing, potentially, if you wanted to find it that way, then, you know, maybe Sigma would have come later. But economics allowed them to sort of do the wrong thing, if you wanted to find it that way.
But hard to blame them. I can understand. Hey, if I make money doing this, it's what I'm doing.
And it was more than that. There was restrictions on surface deliveries that pushed people
compounded
the price. At the same time. Yep, 100%.
But they weren't paying $3,000 acre foot for all their water, right?
Right.
They were using 2.5 acre feet, and
yeah,
they were
maybe they're
one
paying
acre foot at 3,000.
A lot of guys I've talked to now said, "Yeah, we bought 6 inches of water at that price, just to finish."
To finish or to mix it with
your alive.
So that gets back to my point.
Your point is, yeah, if the economics allow a person to do the wrong thing,
yeah,
the state needs to step
if
in.
If somebody wants to just play and keep throwing money at it, that doesn't solve our.
So you're talking about
so
putting a bottom in it.
At some point,
I
we have to put
you said,
a bottom in it.
That bottom in it is going to be so. And we just need to work out what that is.
It's either going to be physical allocation, it will be curtailment, forced curtailment, or you're going to pay a lot of money because you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, you won't be able to do the forced curtailment under this structure with a subtube, though. The only way to do forced curtailment is if everything's
metered.
But just to be poignant about this,
the subtube is in arrears.
You mentioned we don't have enough money to build a reservoir, right? And I agree with you. I don't think we have enough money to make that happen.
Well, none of us do.
However, if you continue to pay many thousands of dollars per acre foot of use, we're going to build ourselves a pot of money pretty damn quick, right? Yeah. And then we can start talking about big sort of these bigger ideas.
Yeah,
But I just don't. I don't think you're ever going to get there. People are going to make the right decision before you get there. I just see that.
Well, I think you have more faith in people than I do.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Run everybody out of business, so there's no collection of fees at that point.
Yep. Yeah. Party in.
I think from my perspective, the overall goal is to what's the things that we can do to allow us to do things that we want to do without having the government involved.
Mm-hmm.
Very broadly defined.
I understand that.
Right? So, some people would say that you're just figuring out a way to cheat the system to keep the government out of your business, but I don't think that's the right. No, I don't think that's the right way to look at
it. Yeah.
So, I also wanted to loop back, though. I mean, I'm hearing that there's has some sort of bottom that needs to be defined. We have the incentive-driven way for folks to reduce their water usage, and then certainly you have state intervention as your ultimate backstop. But something in between, is that what you're trying to better define?
Yeah, at some point, if we've hit MT and still going down, the people are still willing to pay money. We're not solving the problem of keeping it from going down. That's where we need, there needs to be some form of true allocations. You only get 2 acre feet per acre or whatever that number is.
How are you going to enforce that?
I don't know, but that
at least with the fee thing, it goes on your property tax bill. So there's the threat of losing your property or getting a lien put on your property. I don't see how you would enforce a hard.
No, they're doing it somehow down south.
They're doing it.
That's because they require meters.
Right.
And
that's the state intervention. Maybe the backstop of the floor is the you know, that's where the state's going to manage. You do an annual report, and
they're coming.
What they're requiring you to do, they're going to tell you what you got to do.
Yeah,
but I would think I would agree. At some point, we need to put a hard stop level if we're approaching the MTs.
Yeah.
If we're approaching the MT and there's no I've tailed it at that point.
I would guess when he does this draft and we see those details, it'll probably be more clear to us. Maybe that's a, I'm not thinking about it, yeah. But that portion of it probably will be more evident on what it looks like once we see it.
I think you're on the right track to start with. And we do have a time constraint here. We need to start fleshing this thing out.
Yep.
And so the next time we meet, it'd be nice to see a draft.
Yes.
Instead of just bullet points. And then let us start getting into those details.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would like to suggest. Just because a draft is a lot of things at once. Mm-hmm. Let's pick a few. Right. So we're saying, polygons. Let's get together. And
the 5.4 and 5 are going to stand out to me.
Can we do something before that?
Sure.
Though?
Yeah.
But how about if we tell us what the scope of the time frame to get through this and write, and we've got to debate it and go over these different issues. I mean, how many different meetings can we have where we do that, trying to flesh that out and still meet our deadline?
Yeah, I think you could have. It depends on how often you guys want to meet. But I think we could probably do it in. I hope that we could do it in like 4 or 5 meetings.
We can do twice a month, I would think. Well, what's our time frame? When does the recommendation by this group have to be presented to the board to be able to meet the deadline? Because there's going to be a time requirement there where the schedule meeting, public comment, come back. When does this actually, from this group, need to be at the board? And
I think will they agree we with should that be time? Presenting this to the commission in the October meeting.
September. And I would say sooner.
And I'm game to do it. Let's set goal September. And that way, if we do have a buffer, we get a month.
Right? That, then you start.
Let's set our goal is September.
Holidays and all that.
To the commission.
60 days.
To the commission.
In the September meeting to the commission.
That's great. Early month.
It is the earlier of the two meetings. Yeah. Second week or whatever. Yeah.
So back to the meeting, but I'm trying to put it in perspective. Yeah. If we're doing that, how much of that we have to do then?
But just in I mean, I don't want to be oversimplifying, but there's a lot of cutting and pastings. You probably have a lot of this.
All the stuff that
the answer is yes. There are consultants and others.
Yeah.
And I will be hitting
them. We have the benefit of being one of the last.
That's right.
So it's got to be pretty darn close to. I know there's always a concern from folks of saying if I put this out too soon, too much of a draft, it's going to cause a problem. I think we can agree internally this group that that we get it. It's a draft, 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 draft. It's all draft.
Yep.
But if I don't have something I can really kind of understand other than bullet points, mm-hmm. it's difficult for me to see.
Yeah, it's just conceptual.
So can we all agree to next meeting? Let's hit grouping of polygons and trigger monikers.
I think those two are the ones.
Those are the big leaps, right? We got to get in that part.
And if you can get us the draft before we get in the room, we're going to be more successful.
That would absolutely be the goal. Yeah, 100%. So I need 3 weeks. So could we schedule a meeting in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll get it together.
I think that works with our schedule. We went with our regular schedule. Our next regular meeting would be on June 25th.
Yep. So we'll do it in our next regular meeting. I'll have those two pretty well vetted out, and we can read them beforehand. That's why I give myself 3 weeks, because I want you guys to have a few days to be able to do it, to look at it, and we'll run it from there. And Todd, I'll think on what you said. I'll see when I'm setting up this sort of trigger profile, I'll think on what you said, because I get it. I do understand what you're saying.
So is that the week of June 23rd, or is that the week of?
Yeah, it's the 25th of June.
Yes.
That's our date?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, 8:30.
Yep. And I'll start now. I'll have Lena Tack getting us a room with a projector for the next meeting.
I wanted a smaller room.
Yeah. This is maybe I missed all those. Where did the cities fall into this? Because they're pumping groundwater, correct?
They do. So cities are going to get fees associated with the number of housing units. very similar, like anybody does wastewater. So it's equivalent to the list of the well, right? So it's just going to show up on their water. Yeah. They're going to pay a piece of this too. They're using groundwater just like everybody else. I mean, we all know this. There's not a whole bunch of people not using any groundwater at all. That's really, really uncommon here.
You wouldn't want to drink the service.
Yeah, yeah. Really uncommon. So maybe a little group in mineral or something, but not many.
So June 25th is what we have, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Anything else, Stephen, that you want to confirm what you want to bring back to this group, or anything else that this group wants Justin to be working on in the next 3 weeks?
I think what you have on your plate is pretty huge.
Yeah,
I wouldn't ask for more at this point.
Don't, I'm not planning on any vacations between now and then, just to be clear.
People on the phone?
Yeah. I'm really hoping that there wasn't any sort of pause in that recording. Yeah, it sounded like we were just fine. And then, but. Well, we still have some folks listening in. Okay, so anything else before we kind of move on to the next piece? It sounds like we're all going in the right direction. Justin will expand on the gripping the polygon piece, the triggers, I think better understanding that. I think maybe, and then a little bit more of that, kind of what the bottom or hard stop before the real major state water board hard stop. Like, is there thinking through, like, what is that before it starts? We start bringing in the state. Is there anything that we can be thinking about the kind of the not worst case scenario, but the before you hit the worst case scenario?
And then one more thing to add to that: as we suss out these bits of each one of these, I'm going to send them to legal for review. Right. So we're going to say, hey, here's what we all looked at and talked about in this room. Let's move forward with that. Then I'm going to say, because if we hit a hitch there, I'm going to have to bring it back and we're going to talk about it again. So I'm going to send them as soon as possible in those pieces.
You're talking about our county council?
It has to be reviewed by our county council. So, in fact, any attorney that we hire through the district would have to be reviewed also by our county council. That's how the policy works.
We're getting deep enough into the weeds on a lot of this stuff that I don't have a lot of confidence in our county council to come up with stuff that's going to keep us out of litigation. And so at what point do we start talking to someone that's actually a specialist in water law and using them on a contractual basis? Is there room for that somewhere?
I was just in the because room. I was literally just in the room talking to them about that, just so you know.
Well, talk's one thing, but doing it's another.
Talking about how to do it.
Okay. Just want to throw that out there. About how to do it. We got this whole 29 cent an acre thing wound us up in, you know, a lot of money getting spent that we don't have.
I'm going to tell you this straight up and down. Truly, you are going to get sued over almost anything that you do.
That's I just true, want but, to
this, but you should prepare for it.
It's another story. If it's not defensible, then
it is what we just went through in the 29 cents per acre. I'm going to tell you is very defensible. Yep, it is,
yeah.
But that's how laws work. Right. I mean, it is defensible, and a true and solid defense was given to it. And I also, based on our appellate attorney, think that you're going to have the outcome that you want in the end, or maybe you don't want. So it, depending on your side.
I don't want to dwell on the 29 cent thing. I'm just saying that as we get more and more complex into what we're proposing, we should have better counsel.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
I would agree with that assessment.
Noted and noted.
So what did you come up with today when you were talking about?
That there's a way to do it.
Is there a way to do it?
Yeah.
And what?
I have to do it through them. I don't get to hire attorneys directly. The county council has to do it. So it's like an agreement with county council for them to hire an attorney and us to pay for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, then they've got to take the advice they're given to instead of ignoring it. Well, I don't want to keep on that. No, let me just prop that.
In that scenario, are they giving advice to county council? They're still the filter, or are they giving advice directly to the GSA, like Stun and Corning Subbasin GSA? They seem to be getting
direct.
direct and more reasonable and effective recommendations.
So it makes it smoother.
Yeah, no, yeah, no.
Otherwise, the tie too is what can be discussed. At least this is my takeaway from this recent experience was what can be discussed in a public meeting that's not harmful to the county. And so having an outside attorney give opinion is way different from having county council give opinion, or the county council can't give an opinion, you know, with the potential risk of that opinion to the county. That's what I've picked up so far, you know, and so that's where I think that what, you know, Ian and Steve are talking about is having that, you know, outside counsel in these meetings is pretty important for us right now.
I'm not going to guarantee you anything, but I'm working on it. That's what I'll tell you.
So we'll flag that.
Does that sound good? It's what I can tell you right now.
You don't know if it's a...
I don't know that answer yet.
All right.
So I can't give you that. But... I understand and don't disagree.
How do we pay for it, Justin?
Can I borrow your checkbook? No, I have a small amount of funds. I have been scrimping and saving every single thing that I can between my two. I have two jobs: flood control and water conservation. Right, and so between those two, I have a small amount of money, maybe $2 million. Right. And so we're going to have to start talking about using that to do some of this work. And essentially, you've heard me say this out loud before, and it's caused some problems, but it's what it is. I am going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. Right. So most of that money is in floodside, right? Because we build funds over time to do long-term maintenance projects on our big infrastructure for flood, namely levees. That money is going to have to temporarily be borrowed and then paid back out of our fee system when we're done. But there is a buffer there.
I think that just as a general comment, some of the antics that went on with setting the MTs, like, oh, we think they would like another 5 feet up. So without any kind of real technical justification, we just start upping them. I think that's several areas in the county in the ass for this. I think that was a mistake then, because anytime you're trying to read the mind of some entity, it never works. And, you know, I get the inclination as to why, but I just want to say it. I think that's going to bite several areas in this county in the ass unnecessarily.
So the point of let's not just think about what somebody else wants. Let's put together a plan that is going to work.
It's technically sound. It'll be on its own merits.
I think we're on the same page there.
Hopefully that's what we do. I'm just saying that I think
the panic
that causes some.
Yeah. And I think some of the MTs, the way they were set, was nonsense. There was other than trying to read another entity's mind, which you can never do successfully, that they were set in a manner that was going to end up causing problems for a lot of areas. There, I said it.
Good deal. All right, let's do our last bit of business here, and I will get set to work on what we need for next meeting.
Now we're going to turn towards the guiding principles that the technical consultants kind of pulled together. The memo was sent out, emailed to you previously on your agenda handout, which looked like this, that was printed out. On the backside is kind of a summary, one-page summary of these guiding principles. And these are a little kitchen sink type of thing where the technical consultants pull together example guiding principles based off of not only their experience in other groundwater basins. So not everything on this list is going to necessarily apply to the Tehama County's sub-basins, but they wanted to give you like the full range of what it could be. We did also some modification based off of the previous discussion of this group. And so now the question that the technical consultants would like to pose to this group is, what's rising to the top? Like, what's are there priority principles here that this group can broadly support and agree upon? Are there ones that are there major red flags for you that all that's okay, but we want to create space for this group to voice those perspectives, and so that way the technical consultants can take that and use it as they're drafting up the demand management program technical memo that they're working on. So, adding on to that, Justin was working with Kath, and Kath sent in some suggestions on principles of. Justin, do you want to add some context on your conversation with Kath?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys know of Kath, you probably have heard of it by now. There's some state level funding for representation for small, mostly, you know, like these little, you know, sub-sized farmers, right? These little teeny guys. And CAF got grant funding to hire someone local to be their representative. Sadie has been coming to several of our meetings. I think she's been at like Prune Day and stuff too, right? So we got some input from them as well about, you know, what might be beneficial for smaller scale stuff.
From the hobby farmers.
Yeah. From the hobby farmers, yeah. Or even just the, you know, we make honey and sell it on our backyard farmer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'll walk through, or Justin and I will walk through, because I'm sure I'm not going to get it just right. I'm going to walk through a high-level overview of the guiding principles that the technical consultants provided. I also printed out copies of the recommendations that CAF provided, so we can pass that around. So the first two set of questions after I go through this overview is, you know, what's standing out to you as support? What's standing out to you as things that you still have concerns about?
Yep.
And then the third question is, are there elements of CAF's suggestions that we want to make sure are either already in principles or we want to add to these principles? So that's so going over about the 10 principles that the technical consultants put forward. There's, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 general categories overall, though. First three are related to sustainability and resource management. And so certainly, you know, we're trying to achieve that long-term sustainability and be resilient and avoid, you know, like drought, which is short-term, preventing drought impacts from becoming long-term impacts. So building in that resiliency. Economic feasibility and incentives. So trying to minimize that kind of burden. And certainly relying on incentives to support that. And so with that, thinking through, you know, whatever actions you come up with, do that cost-benefit analysis. So coming up with cost-effective actions and utilizing compensation programs, which like there's like rebate things, there's several ways of like what compensation could look like. And then fee structures, we talked a lot about, you know, various fee structures, and in part, one of it is to not overburden and kind of penalize the folks who are already using or being efficient and low water users. So thinking through a bit, like trying to incorporate that into the fee structure, and then coordination with land use and surface water planning. And so whatever we're coming up with, make sure it's aligned with what some land use and surface water entities. And so
can I interrupt just for a second?
Yeah.
I read this and I don't see anything in here that's outwardly objectionable in the entire summary handout. Does anybody else?
Only one that caught my eye was this third party monitoring and certification.
Which number is that?
Where
is
that on that page?
Sorry.
Oh,
I don't know if we're looking at the same
document. Oh, okay. No, I'm not looking at the other document. I'm looking at the one that we're going down line by line.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I don't see anything except
Sorry.
I'm just thinking, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I got
so these things go where when we're talking about fees and how fees are used, and the thing, something that caught my eye that I, this education outreach and capacity building. When you build a new bureaucratic program, there's always hands that go in the bucket and say, well, I'm going to do these things with that money. And to the greatest extent possible, this fees associated with this program should be for technical items.
As efficiently used as possible.
Yeah,
we don't need another thing. Like, if you want to go build an outreach program to help people understand how to irrigate effectively, don't use this bucket. Look at a different bucket.
Those are already things that are
being there already exist. And all of the technical data exists. We don't need to create another bureaucratic behemoth.
Anybody that's not aware of this at this point probably doesn't really care.
So,
and
you know, I don't want my fee structure for groundwater use to do outreach seminars.
Yeah. I mean,
how to be a better steward of your environment.
Making coloring books.
Yeah. Yes, making coloring books for Iranian children.
I guess the thing, though, is, I mean, I agree with you. But the only point I was going to make is that I don't think it needs to be part of the demand management plan. We actually do have an outreach plan, but we're not using
them. And it's ignored.
Yeah. So I mean, why
public doesn't
know to go into that for this document?
That part, building awareness and capacity.
So we might want to scratch six or at least severely.
Less. I would say leverage existing program. Period.
So get rid of the first bullet point.
Or at least
I just not say just use the point. Leverage you need awareness and capacity. Yeah. I would say leverage existing programs.
Right. That's good.
Like do it, but not at the cost.
Correct.
Well, and it's just the energy involved. Here we go. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
For this time.
And I don't know that you know the term vulnerable communities.
Yeah, that just means
that I understand what they're up to. And disadvantaged communities. Yeah. But,
well, that, you know, the point on that, I can't agree. All of Tehama County is a disadvantaged
community. Yeah, the whole damn place is. Yeah. So
I trying to single out any entity is, I mean, it's just too easy. Just to start.
Is it officially?
Yeah.
It is
officially. I'll have to figure out where I got that, but yes.
Poverty.
Yeah, I think it was.
Sigma, the way they define the disadvantaged community is based off of income.
I would like to see the designation because I've tried to get prior grants based on that. It's like Hamilton City is.
Yeah, but we're not whole county.
The other kind of language about something in here is about my eye about water being a human right prior to I human rights water for domestic users.
Where are you at?
Fairness and balanced interests.
I think that you might be looking into the detailed
example. I'm sorry, I'm on the one you emailed.
But that is like one of the detailed and kind of part of just and I'm hearing you that what that specifically means.
Sometimes that kind of language, it opens up a can of worms for.
Where are you at?
I'm sorry, I'm on the email document.
It's different.
I think you have
printed out just a few copies of that.
This one is 5 pages long. That's the email.
I think it's state policy.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
If we
want to leave it, then we'll leave it.
All right. I would again say, as we're collecting money for fees, we don't need to create another a duplicative program to do things that the state already does in other areas.
We emphasize that the leverage existing stuff. So Steve, when you go number 4, fair and balanced participation, that second bowl if you want to look at the details.
For, you know, for me, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are the ones where the rubber meets the road. And, you know, those are the ones that matter.
So just for the folks listening in on online, what we mean, like 7, 8, 9, 10, transparent data monitoring, accountability, enforcement, flexibility, adaptive management, transparent governance, so transparent and fair decision making, and conflict resolution
pathway. And I think every one of them is laudable. I wouldn't change them.
So what I'm hearing just generally is that, again, there's no major heartburn or red flags from these principles. Certainly, it devils in the details. You'll see some things where some of the language is kind of from the state, like Sigma and other. And so that's where it's sourced from. So takeaways like be aligned with existing state regulations and policies. Certainly hearing loud and clear that leverage existing stuff so we're not reinventing the wheel or creating additional costs. So the kind of the action is like, are you okay with us kind of giving that feedback back to the technical consultants and okay with us like posting this now to the website, making it just available? Any concerns with doing that?
Yes. No.
Are you going to make the modification suggested? Post it?
We can. So I can.
Well, I mean,
the number six.
Number six specifically, take off.
Fine.
Bullet.
Or adding some clarity that leverage it. Like, this is an important thing, but we're.
Just leave it like it is. Leverage existing programs and opportunities. That's
move the first
place. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Provide
training to somebody.
One of the items I would like to see develop further is item number 3, coordination with land use and surface water planning. I'm not quite sure how to coordinate with surface water planning. I'm not sure who the surface water planners are other than the irrigation districts. But I think we can do more there. And I just think there's coordination between in-state government and county government.
So certainly when I'm hearing that you think that it is important, what that actually looks like is, again, in the details, but it sounds like it as a principle, no problems with it.
Well, then I'm not quite sure the second bullet, how it relates at all. I mean, this is promote land fallowing, crop switching, and recharge zones. I'm not sure what the coordination is with land use. And when I say coordination with land use and surface water planning, I'm thinking county government. So I'm thinking the planning department, I'm thinking environmental health. And there is definitely coordination that needs to happen between those groups and flood control. So I'm not quite sure how the second bullet even relates. I mean, that's a demand management program. It's not coordination with land use per se. And policy. So when I look at coordination with land use, and I know it's in here somewhere, well, we talk at least what was submitted or emailed to us also includes the general plan. The general plan is really important here. And we in this, I think this other grouping of principles talk about that we're going to basically align with those policies. But those policies are all, you know, those policies are AB 3030. And, you know, that plan needs to be updated, you know, relative to Sigma today. So I think that's the type of coordination I would like to see.
Yeah. Understand.
So you want to see him elaborate on that a little better? Is that your clarification on that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think for the purposes, like maybe we can ask the technical consultants to put some of that into the technical memo. But as a principle, it sounds like it's still okay.
Yes.
Okay. So what we can do is we can have modify these with a little bit of some, like, maybe give a little bit more clarity of what we mean by education, outreach, and capacity building. Like, that is generally a principle, but what you allocate resources to it is kind of the flags that this group is mentioning. And We can give a little bit more, ask for a little bit more clarity around like land use planning, surface water planning coordination from the technical consultants into the memo. But other than that, I'm hearing from this group that no red flags with majorly with giving the A-OK to technical consultants and sharing this on the website.
As modified.
So yeah, I mean we need to make sure we have clarity on that. We want to eliminate the first bullet point under number six and keep the second one as written. It's simple. Leverage existing programs and opportunities. We don't want to there's already a lot of effort there that's being done that's, I don't want to say wasteful because it's not, but I've been to some of these meetings that are community outreach meetings. It's the same people that are always there,
mm-hmm.
and it's not significant.
How about we lose that first bullet point as a sub bullet point to leverage existing programs and opportunities specifically? What, for example, ones that are building understanding of it, et cetera. So, like clarifying, like we're not suggesting that the demand management program allocate funds or collect fees that are going to specifically fund this, but program.
How come you want to keep it so bad?
I think one of the things that we're hearing from technical consultants and what we're seeing in others is that a demand management program doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to allocate resources specifically from this there, but it's capacity building, transparent governance, like those are things that are not at cost to the demand management program, but are parts of a program's success.
I totally agree. I just don't think we need it in this document.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is we do have an existing communication outreach plan according to Sub-Basin. Mm-hmm. It was a decent piece of work. And we still don't use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
but check the box.
So we'll just remove that first bullet point.
Thank you.
There you go.
It's just more excuse for more meetings.
I mean, if anything, we should really look at that doc, and make this work for us. But we don't need this team to do it for us.
Sounds good. All right. So thanks for the clarity. Yeah, we'll just take off that little bit. You'd be sending us. All right. So now it seems like kind of thinking, reaffirming the next steps in the timeline. We affirmed that Justin's got the green light to add some detail for that draft proposal. We talked a little bit about when we were aiming to get that revised straw proposal presented to the commission. And so we're aiming for September. And we talked about legal review. That's kind of like Justin has been in constant contact with general legal counsel, but hearing from this group that they want more specific external, there's value in getting external specific expertise on this and looping that in. And was also hearing from this group that not only do they want to bring in somehow this external counsel, they want to hear it a bit more directly, not via general counsel, was one of the things I picked up in this group.
Correct. So. Just one question on that really quick, if everyone can get on board with this. Would everyone be okay with written reviews of documents directly from a consultant attorney that you can see and review? As opposed, it's expensive sometimes to get them here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a starting point.
It's a saving
out of that, there's some stuff that needs to be dialogued into it like they did it
absolutely
with Valerie. Okay.
Yeah.
It's preferable, actually.
Yeah.
Preferable. In it in writing.
Cool.
Directly from
From them. That's what I'm talking about. Right. Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Yeah.
And
I know what
I'm you do. Twisted around too much.
And by the way, I think by text I just got permission to do this, so I think this is going to happen.
All right. And our next meeting is scheduled for June 25th. And so again, like the idea is that Justin will bring back his draft proposal.
a draft.
Draft, revised draft of the straw proposal. And that's also when we're anticipating that the technical consultants will have a draft of that framework technical memo. I'm not sure how that's going to timing with, because I know CSAB was supposed to actually meet today, but it was canceled. So I don't know if they're going to try and run it by CSAB before or after, but we'll get a little bit more details on what's ready for that June 25th meeting. But the thought is like there will be some sort of update.
You're going to focus on the two sections, grouping of polygons and triggers.
Yes.
That's what I'm coming back with.
Just those two sections.
So we can deep dive those.
Yeah. Yep. At some point, and maybe not in this group, but in the CSAB group or others, are we going to have opportunity to dive a little deeper on the data that you presented yesterday with respect to the subsidence and the overall declines, specific areas? And I mean, we asked yesterday to say, hey, kick this thing back to the lower levels for review. When are we going to be able to do that?
So many things, but I will happily give that presentation to the next
presentation. Presentation is one thing, but I mean, I'd like to hear Eddie's opinion as well. I mean, I know a lot of those documents you showed yesterday, I think were
Eddie's documents,
a product of them.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to talk with him.
Yeah,
I understand he was on vacation and all that.
But, yep.
Well, you know.
I have a meeting with him. I would be too, by the way. But I have a meeting with him early next week, and I'll talk about that. Let's put something together so that you are also explaining this data and it isn't just me, and we can do a little round trip.
It'd be nice to really contrast that with actually what the benchmarks are in our plan.
Right.
Because there's a deviation there that I won't say was manufactured, but it sure seems.
It was a 10 year time span instead of five.
Yeah, no, the one that was 5 years is 2.16 or whatever it is. The one that was the 5 years before was 1.165 and 0.211. And so, yes, the totals, but we're talking about
0.39.
Yeah, the totals are about 0.4.
Is that a conversation for this group or more for?
No, they're just requesting some information for further down the road.
Specific to the work product that will be provided to us prior to the next meeting so that we can review and discuss at the meeting. You said draft straw proposal. I think my concept of that work product is a draft of a component of the demand management program.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
And I want, you know,
it's not a straw proposal like debate. This is a draft of a component, two components.
What do you like about it?
What will become
the demand management program?
Agreed. Okay, thank you.
Okay. No, I never really understood what you meant by your draft straw.
Yeah, the proposal,
or I'm not sure I'd call it that, but it's. I appreciate what you brought to the table.
I thought it was good. We're getting someplace.
Let's do it. I think we can do it.
I realize I missed one question related to the CAF suggestions. Was there any concerns? I mean, a lot of the things that CAF was suggesting I feel like. First one is promoting viability of family farms through incentivized stewardship measures. The next one is the same thing with efficiency measures. Third was thinking through the rate structures that incorporates farming practices, benefiting sustainability, conservation, ecosystem health, benefiting farms with practices already in place. And
which document are you on? I'm
this one. That's not mine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
and good. Then an allocation structure supporting viability of family farms based on water usage for existing crops. So
I think it's fine. The only thing they just keep inserting is the family farms.
Well, family farms.
I am too.
Okay with that. The only one I'm sorry, the only one that I was didn't that I objected to was third party monitoring and certification. Again, this if we need to be administering a program that's focused on the technical detail and not involving outside consultants.
So to implement these recommendations, a lot of this stuff is already in place. It's already being done.
Yeah, they just changed.
Winter cover cropping, you know, all that. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that are already dedicated to this. And so are we talking about just advocating for it or actually putting money toward it, toward these efforts? Because we can advocate all day long, and I'm okay with that, but not to spend any more of our money on this program because it's already covered.
Step one is whether or not folks at Gaming Citizens are willing to advocate for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's first step one.
Okay.
I think, you know, Justin's straw proposal supports it, bullet number two, be a brain-based incentive. So
yes.
I look at that. This is applying to that. As his next bullet deals with small farms, I don't know what a small farm is. So I think the family farm the cat put out works for me.
I do.
But efficiency monitoring and amendment programs for small farms. Right. I think that in essence, this straw proposal kind of supports.
As do other existing organizations. The Shasta Tehama Watershed Coalition comes out and does efficiency monitoring on their systems. They'll give you recommendations. Those are all things that are already ongoing. The winter cover cropping has been beat to death. We people that want to do it are doing it.
So what you're saying conceptually, I think nothing to disagree here.
There's nothing we disagree with. I don't want to put money toward it. We have to stay focused on what we're trying to do here.
Already this.
We don't have enough money to start with.
Todd, starting something,
I just don't agree that family farm replaces small farm idea. Because the whole concept, we were looking at the smaller, and we never defined it, is that 100 acres or less of somebody who actually is farming that as, you know, part of their business, as opposed to, is that 100 acres part of 5,000 acre operation? Is a completely different thing. Like Paladin said, those are family farms that, you know, crane orchards are as a family farm, but it's not the idea of spending some effort to help the small farmer was not the idea of helping the family farm when they incorporated, you know, thousands of acres of it. It was to help those smaller, almost just above hobby farm, but not quite half the county farm.
Wasn't it based on farm gate value sales?
We never defined it.
I don't think those terms are interchangeable.
Yeah. We don't define them as
might take a look at
whatever that is.
Yeah, I've seen that one. And then there's some other definitions in the state. I'll
look at it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember
like
three different conversations happening at once, so might have done.
I think if we have this incentive-based structure that you're beginning to build, that addresses all of this. It doesn't matter if you're small or large. Mm-hmm. It's likely the small farmers will take advantage if they can. Maybe not so much on the bigger farms. You know, they've got their system, it's in place, it works for them. You know, they're not going to see maybe an advantage to cover cropping or whatever. So I think your incentive-based idea supports what CAP is writing.
And we're contemplating a tiered B structure.
Tiered B structure.
Which will incorporate, obviously, a smaller operator.
Pays less money.
Pays less.
Great.
Less irrigated acres.
Less money.
Less. There will be a base level.
There will be a base fee. That's right. There's a bottom to that fee.
So I'm hearing straw proposal, the things coming from CAF are aligned, getting don't want to spend money or allocate money too specifically this, because we already have programs and things that are already doing it. And clarifying that when we're kind of interpreting family farms, we're thinking small farms.
Well, you're gonna have to have the definition if we're gonna get a consensus on
what we're doing. I'll put a little work into that.
How do you imagine that?
No, but I mean it's integral. I mean, if you're going to tier a structure, it's already the more acres you have times dollars per acre, it's already being covered. You're paying more money. So I got to see the structure to see if it makes sense. It's not
sure. We're 1 minute after, so I'm going to out. And so everything that you just discussed in this last conversation, Justin heard it, so we're incorporating it into the revived component of the straw proposal. And so, yeah, again, next meeting is going to be June 25th. All right. Thank you, everyone.